Hey, thanks for checking out our show. If you like what you hear, we have tons of additional content at patreon.com/themedialunchbreak.
That's how it's done, ladies and gentlemen.
That's how it's Andrew done.
Oh, that's called getting dunned.
Getting it D-U-double-end. Double-ended. I don't like that.
I don't like it either. You know what else I don't like?
Me?
Seeing you in this light that is not your usual, like, ring light or whatever it is. I'm not used to it. Used to it, and I don't like it.
I like to throw you off.
It's off-putting.
Good. I like to put you off.
Well, what else off of mine do you like to get me?
Chris?
Yeah?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Shut the hell up. We have something to talk about. Because this episode is brought to you by Arby's.
Yes! You went to Canada to get this?
I did not. No. This came in the mail. Actually, I had it last week and I forgot to bring it up.
Holy crap. How did it happen?
With Destiny and cheese.
That's true. And a fight with Destiny.
And cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
But also, it's looking like next week's episode, we will have a different and very official sponsor of our channel. And I think you and I are both going to be making some review videos for this sponsor.
Ooh, I like it.
Anyway, what I showed Chris earlier was I got the keys to the cheese.
Yeah, you
do. If you've been following this saga on the show, I've been trying to get the keys to the cheese, which is a keychain that Arby's released for like a minute. And it gives you free cheese at any brick and mortar Arby's location.
I like this. And of course, there was a conspiracy behind this about the ability not to get the keys to the cheese. And I think this conspiracy went straight to the top.
Yeah, if anything, it went straight out my bottom with all that free cheese. But I got it. It's mine now, motherfuckers.
Yeah, and there's no taking it away. Do you think, however, knowing that the platform that you have with this podcast, that Arby's is trying to pay you off from investigating what really goes on with the keys to the cheese?
I am not at liberty to say.
I understand. The same way that Deep Throat wasn't able to give out his identity. I understand.
I can definitely confirm that it did have something to do with that. Yes.
Okay. With Deep Throat.
Yes.
Ting.
Why is this happening? Hang on.
Hang on. I can't help but notice that this happened just as we were talking about the conspiracy about the keys to the cheese. And I think you better check that lamp that I don't like on you, because it might be bugged.
There we go. Okay, those levels look a lot better. Sorry, everyone, if that sounded real fucked up. But anyway,
yes,
I'm here now.
And where is here again?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Here is with my keys to the cheese that we already talked about. But it's also in one Toronto, Ontario. Or I believe here they pronounce it Ontario, Canada.
Ontario, Canada, you say?
Mm-hmm.
And what the hell are you doing up there?
Oh, I'm seeing my favorite play for my birthday.
Oh. So you went up there. You went up to... So, wait. It's going to be your birthday, and you voluntarily went up there for your birthday to Canada.
Yes.
You voluntarily went to Canada.
Yes. Are you kidding? It's got like the nicest people. It's got a lot of good food.
It is actually much nicer than America. You're right.
Yeah.
Do they put maple syrup on everything like they say?
Dude, let me tell you, everything you've heard about Canada is a lie. You know what they put on everything?
What's that?
Goddamn gravy.
Oh, that sounds delicious, actually.
It is.
What have you gotten with gravy on it? Go.
Nothing. I just got here, Chris.
Oh, really? I don't know when you got there. I can't tell. How would I know? You didn't take me. Despite the fact that I asked.
I'll take you.
Oh, in Canada? Yes, please.
Listen, man, all I've done since I got here is fucking, like, prepared. I rewatched Dune. I took all my notes. I read the reading assignment. And then I tried to set up I don't normally use my laptop to record.
Yeah.
So I had to download OBS.
Yeah.
Figure out how to use Ninja all over again.
Are you in a hotel room right now?
Yes, I am. Look at this. Isn't this lovely?
We should start the show because at any moment your computer could just shut down completely.
Would you like to?
I would love to.
Also, I would like to go out and get some poutine.
Ooh.
Which for anyone who doesn't know is...
Not what you think it is.
It's exactly what I think it is. French fries with cheese curds and gravy.
Mmm, God, that sounds delicious.
Doesn't it?
Oh, my God. Oh, then let's get this show on the road, shall we?
Yeah, please do.
Hey,
break, bringing you all of your comic geek and movie news all in the time it takes to eat a good sandwich and cover it in gravy. My name is Chris Reba. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host, Andrew Dunn. Say a boot, Andrew.
Oh, you took what I was going to say. I was going to say that was a really long intro. What was that about? It's about. Everyone says a boot. It's not a boot. It's about.
It's about.
It's almost boat. A boat.
It's a boat.
Yeah, that's sorry. An easy way. Yeah, well, sorry. Sorry. Oh, sorry. Sorry. Sorry.
All right.
Let me tell you. You know how many? I've been here about 3 hours. I've heard maybe 60 stories.
Yeah, and you're going to hear 60 more by the end of the night.
Yeah.
But not from this guy.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Should we get started?
Let's get started.
Let's do it.
Chris.
Yes.
Today, we're talking about a film based on an ancient book, a book about a young man, the son of a king, whose destiny is to lead thousands of oppressed followers to glory as their messiah. The young man named Paul Atreides dies and is resurrected just in time for Easter. You might even call this story the Book of Paul, because today we're talking about the passion of the, I mean, Dune 2. Anyway, sit back, grab your officially licensed Dune 2 worm-shaped popcorn fleshlight, which is my new favorite tongue twister. Chris, what did you think of Dune 2?
I enjoyed this a lot. Denis Villeneuve, which is, I'm definitely pronouncing
Villeneuve.
That. Villeneuve. Villeneuve. Well, let's find out how many different ways we could mispronounce that man's name.
Does his name mean Star Village?
I have no idea.
Or New Village. Nueve? Nuevo? Right?
It's
new?
Isn't it V-I-L-N? I always don't know. Pronounce slash misspell his name. He is very quickly becoming one of my favorite directors between everything that I see. He is like, I was watching this movie and I'm like, God, this guy is easily, he's like the new, I'm not going to say like he's the new Spielberg.
The new
he's
village. Like, that's what his name means.
He's the new village. Yeah, he's the new village. He's the new director that like generations from now we're going to be like, that guy is a genius still.
Like Coppola or something.
Yeah. He's going to be one of those guys that like you can tell, like the guy just understands how to make a movie beautiful. Like, God, this is a beautiful looking movie. If nothing else, you can just, you know, and listen, this is a long ass movie, man. Yeah. It is nearly 3 hours and I was feeling it for a little while.
Yeah.
But if nothing else, I'm like, God, this is nice to look at, isn't it? It's so pretty. Yeah. Everything is so pretty. But I enjoyed this. It is definitely slower paced than what you would hope for a 3 hour movie. But overall, I really like this, and I'm interested to see where this is going. What about you? How are you feeling about this just off the get-go?
This is going to be an interesting episode because we have some differing opinions that may clash.
Okay.
So far, a lot of what you've said I agree with.
Yeah.
Visually, this is a feast for the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it also kind of feels like nothing happens, especially compared to the first one.
I will agree with you on that. I will definitely agree. Like I said,
part of me, look, I'm sorry to cut you off again, one of the things I wanted to point out as well before I sort of send you on your path, because I want to say sort of a controversial hot take.
Ooh, hot takes.
This, what's his name? Denis Villeneuve. I don't know. Say his name for me.
I think it's Denis Villeneuve.
Great. He's running on par with me with like James Cameron, where I'm like, yeah, you sure made Avatar and it sure looks nice, but like, who gives a shit?
Right.
And the first movie is less who gives a shit. Like, I definitely am like, okay, I'm interested where this is going. This is interesting. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this movie could have been Dune's Empire Strikes Back.
Right.
And instead, it kind of fell flat with me. There's a lot of issues I have with it that are sort of like, they feel like sort of amateurish things to do when creating a story, especially a film, which a director this caliber, like, I do know a lot of the other stuff he's done, and it's, he is one of the, like, he's no newbie. He's no newbie to film.
Yeah, for sure.
So I suspect that these were intentional things that he's trying to do to, like, you know, you learn the rules and then you break them, right?
Right.
But a lot of them as well feel a bit to me like, the fuck did you do that for? And it's strange and it doesn't work for me for a lot of the movie. 50% of this movie is silent, which you can do. Or not silent, but no dialogue.
Right.
And 50% of the dialogue that it has is in a made up language that has subtitles, which is fine. I'm not using any of these as example of that, but it is something that, like, it's not total dog shit.
No.
And it's got about 30 minutes of story.
Yeah, no,
I'll say about it.
I would 100% agree with it. I remember watching, and I think one of the reasons the 3 hour, I could feel the 3 hours, is that you're right. Like, this should have been, it's Empire Strikes Back. This should have been this very, not dense, but like kind of fast paced middle story of like, we started out with all our introductions. Now we're going to get right to the action on this one. And then we're going to blast it right into the grand finale for the third movie. And it's almost like he decided to do the opposite of that.
Right.
And make this kind of like ballooned version for the middle hump.
Yeah.
And then come back around. It's like going over a dune. Yeah. You start at the base, and now this one was going up and over the crest and down. Yeah. And then the last one is going to be getting back to the flat land again. But here's the thing. There's about 3 or 4 different plot lines going on in this story. Any one of them, and I had no problem with any of them, but there was a moment where I was like, what movie am I watching right now? Like, what?
Right.
Like,
whose movie is this?
Pick one. Pick one. Because I'll watch any of these. I'll watch any 4 of these. Hell, I'll watch any 2 of the 4 of these as an A and a B plot.
It's actually an interesting take if you wanted to do 3 different movies and have each one follow a different character.
Right. I kept going, this doesn't need to be almost 3 hours, because right. I would happily watch you take 2 of these plot lines out and make another movie and stretch this into a quadrilogy. I'll watch Dune chapter 3 and chapter 4.
Dune has like 50 books. Like, you don't have to give us some extra movies.
The true fans of Dune are used to having like their saga really drawn out.
Yeah.
So it's not like you have to really make sure that it fits within a trilogy or something like that.
Right.
So that is the one thing. All of the plots in these are really interesting. However, don't need to all be in the same movie at the same time.
Yeah.
The cast is strong. This is a really good cast. I mean,
including a character that I won't spoil, but who has like 3 lines.
Yes. I think we're thinking of the same person, and we won't spoil it just now. You know, this actor is in it because they talked about it. Like, it's not a surprise that they're in it. They did announce it.
It was a surprise to me, but
I think we mentioned it like fucking a while back, and then I don't think he was in any of the trailers or anything.
Then we're not talking about the same person. I'm talking about someone in a single scene for like a half a second.
Oh,
who's a very big famous person. Not very big, but a very famous person.
Maybe I missed it. Okay. I don't think I missed it, but maybe I missed it.
Maybe you did.
Maybe I did.
We'll talk about it in a bit. Let's.
Yeah, so, we'll talk about it a bit.
So I don't know. For just before we get into spoilers, I guess I think we mostly agree if what you want is like a visual spectacle, because honestly, this is a movie that should be impossible. Like, if you showed this to somebody in the 1940s, they'd burn you at the stake. It is something that like even 5 years ago would have blown my mind. It's even after seeing the first Avatar, even after seeing the second Avatar, it is. I mean, I think this is like currently the like peak CGI, the peak use of aesthetics and color and contrast and visual spectacle that we have received in a fiction film thus far.
Yeah, we always talk about, you know, the budget of a film and how much of it makes it on screen and everything like that. And this is one of those films that you can see every dollar on screen. And it is put to good use in a way. You can't see every dollar on screen because there's a lot of CGI in this that I'm like, is that CGI? Like, it's deftly done. You know, there's a lot of beautiful design in this. And so you can't tell if it's miniature work or if it's CGI. It's probably a combination of the two. It doesn't feel like there was no moment where I was like, oh, that's definitely a CGI, as opposed to a miniature model or some other thing.
Sure. You know, I disagree. I think there's a couple moments for me where I was like, wah, wah. But it also is one of those things that like, if you told me,
actually, that's a lie. I can think of one.
Okay.
Yeah, I can think of one. You're right.
But also, if you gave me the budget of this film, like told me what the budget was, but you didn't tell me it was the budget of the whole film. You just told me it was the budget for the cast. It doesn't matter what the number is. I would believe that.
Yeah. This cast, like I said, this cast is stacked. Timothée Chalamet is very good in this role, but he's a little yelly to me.
I don't believe screamy. A single thing he says.
He's a little like everything is like he starts off very even keel and then he'll get really loud really fast. Yeah. And I'm like, yes, whoa.
That happens like 3 or 4 times in the movie. I don't believe a single thing he says. Like he goes from being nothing to being like super pissed off, like immediately at the drop of a hat. And I'm like, what is this? What are you doing? This is bad acting.
Yeah. This is, I don't know what's going on here.
I have to see him like put the lid on the emotion first and like close his eyes, take a breath, give the answers again, say it a third time. And then the lid comes off. Yeah. Right. That's how we do this. It's not just like, he feels like he's ordering a sandwich and then all of a sudden he's like, I said no pickles. Yeah. You know,
honestly, I would believe him more if he was ordering a sandwich that way. I understand that frustration, but yeah. Or if something had happened, there's nothing that, well, there's one thing that happens, but he does it even before the thing. I'm trying to say it without spoiling it, but there's something that happens closer to the end of this movie that changes his character.
Yes.
And after that, if he were to keep doing that, if that's where it had started.
Yes, I agree.
And then he started to, I'm like, oh, I believe this because he's now is like a different character, basically.
But even then, so like, I don't know. I still want to see like a character arc change.
I agree with you. As annoying as it is to watch someone do that in a scene, I'd at least buy it for the character. Because there's a drastic change, right? I don't think it's the right choice, but I would understand why maybe he was trying that. But he did it before that, too.
Yeah, a bunch.
And so he does it a bunch before that. So I'm like, oh, this is, I guess, just who this guy is, which is very odd.
Yeah. And look, man, he's been through a lot. But that's sort of what I mean, right? Is like, I think it has to be the boiling over.
Right.
Because he's lost his father. He's been living in the desert with his mom, who's like starting to lose her fucking mind.
Right.
So like I would get it if it was like starting to get to him. But we don't see any of that subtext.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It never hits a point where it's like, here's a change. And now he starts doing this. And that's why he is doing. That's why he is the way that he is. That's why he all of a sudden starts yelling at people. You know, I don't know, he's gone crazy or something, but it's never that. There's never something that happens that causes him to do that. I can't think of anything really else to say non-spoilers.
Yeah, I can't either. I also just want to say sorry to our patrons because I just started recording. So, welcome.
What's up, patrons? Yeah,
sorry about that.
How you doing?
Do you want to get into spoilers?
Let's just do spoilers. Let's do it.
All right, yeah, sounds good. I have so many notes, and I don't want to go through all of them.
Okay, go start on a couple, and we'll talk, and then at a certain point, we'll just... Oh, man.
First one, they're in chronological order, because I took them while I watched it the second time. The first one is, I don't understand the worm piss thing. Does it kill everyone? Does it only kill men? Does it not kill anyone?
Supposed to only kill men.
Okay, then how come it almost kills her?
I think,
and everyone's like, it's gonna kill her, and then when she wakes up, they're like, it's a miracle.
I think because she's pregnant. That's what I thought. I thought because you're not supposed to give it to a pregnant woman.
Wouldn't that just kill the baby then? I don't know.
I don't know.
They even are like, she used her psychic powers to make it so she didn't die. She said that
it's
at one
worm
point.
Piss. Okay. What do you?
All right. Here's a big problem I have. I have a bigger problem with this.
Okay.
The accent thing is so weird.
Bigger than worm piss.
Yes. The accent thing is so weird that they address that people have different accents and they say like, well, yeah, didn't you notice his accent? He's from the South. That's why he believes this thing. And I'm like, OK, so now that we all acknowledge that, like, the accents are intentional and not just like, well, we have these people and they're using their own accents and it's a suspension of disbelief. Like, why does Dave Bautista's character have the same accent as Paul Atreides? Why does Zendaya? Why does her best friend not have the same accent as her, even though they're both from the same tribe? Like, I have all these questions now that you have opened up this, no pun intended, enormous can of worms, or a can of enormous worms, maybe.
No, I agree with you. The accent thing... I was perfectly fine not talking about the accents.
Yes. Something I never even thought of.
Didn't even bother me. I was like, especially for the desert people, because I'm like, yeah, you're a hodgepodge of people.
Right.
Like your ancestry is probably all over the fucking place.
But then, all right, now that we're in spoilers as well, like, so we got an emperor who has like a weird, like 1960s Manhattan accent.
Right. Yeah. The guy sounds like he's from Long Island.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
It makes it super weird. What else we got here? oh yeah, I guess he crossed the desert. They never showed us. They made this big deal about how he was going to like cross the desert and he had to do it without getting eaten. And then Zendaya's like, you shouldn't walk that way. That's the wrong way to walk. You got to walk like this. And he's like, but the textbook said, and she's like, no, you got to walk like this. And then we show her showing him how to do it. But then it just peters off.
Yeah. And I thought he was supposed to do it alone.
Right.
Yeah. And I thought it was supposed to be something he does all by himself.
He did, I guess.
Yes. And yeah. And then he just did. That's what I mean. There's a little bit in this. There's definitely room to trim in this. And there's definitely room to make this into two different movies.
Yeah.
And that's one of them. Like that whole thing is that should have been the movie.
Yeah.
That should have been the movie. It should have been that. I guess that's another lead up. It feels like another lead up, but like leading up to the introduction of what's his name? Elvis. Into the introduction of Elvis. That should have been the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Introduce that guy. And then you're like, so the next movie, this is our big bad right here.
Yeah. I'm going to get into that. Why, here's a question. Why do the bad guys all have swords? Some of them have guns. Why don't they just all use guns?
I think they address that in the first movie, don't they?
Isn't it
about the fact that the shields, the frequency shields, whatever they have, it's now become like commonplace to be able to just block guns with that thing. And so a knife is better because the knife can pierce right through the shielding.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But
that's what I thought.
The people they're hunting, the Fremen, don't have those shields, right?
No, they don't. So it doesn't make sense on why they don't just shoot everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. True facts.
Paul takes the name of Stuart Little. I've written here. I've also written here, quote, white savior shit, which like just infuriates me. I've done some research into this. This isn't quite the book's fault. Because this is obviously a retelling of the novel.
Right.
The author has been like, man, it really bugs the shit out of me that people think the point of this series is that this white dude comes into a bunch of like an oppressed people's
right.
Community and then like rises
and
them up.
Saves them.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he continued to write more books where like it's like, you know, 30 years later and it's like, oh no.
To put that in doubt.
Right. Well, and it's also like, oh no, he fucked up everything.
Yeah.
Like everything he did ruined their lives.
Right. And I think they're trying to hint at that in this movie.
Yeah.
But the problem is in the moment, it just looks like this.
Yeah, it's real rough.
And again, this is what I mean. This should have been the plot of the first. This should have been like Dune Chapter 2, Part 1.
Yeah.
And it's him learning all the shit on how to like jump on a sandworm and shit like that. And all these different people.
That's not a euphemism.
Yeah. It's coming into his life and going, hey, you're really the Messiah. And him going, I really don't think that I am.
Yeah.
And then another person coming in and going, no, I don't think you are either. But they think you are. And this could work out really. And all these different forces pulling at him on what he should do.
Yeah.
And then the end of the movie is he decides what he's going to do.
Right.
And that's where Elvis comes in and it's like set up for the next movie. And this is what I mean. It's like three different movies wrapped up into one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. There is this whole thing of like, for as long as this movie is, it's almost like they went into too much depth about some stuff and not quite enough depth about other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is what I'm feeling about this.
Yeah. I've written here. What the fuck is Christopher Walken doing in this? And okay, here we go.
What is he doing in this?
I don't know.
What is he? Or I mean, not much to tell you the truth.
Look, man, taking home a check. That's what he's doing in this.
That's for sure. And I'm like, you got this. I was like, what are you just showing off for now, Denny? Like I can get Christopher Walken for this. That's totally fine. I would assume he's going to have a larger part in the next movie. Assuming that he's still alive. But I'm like, what in the hell is he doing here?
All right. So our main villain is introduced 1 hour and 15 minutes into this movie. He has about 15 minutes of screen time in a 2.5 hour long movie. And then he dies. We never even really see what he's capable of. Like, yes. He overpowers Dave Bautista, who we've seen is like a horrible fighter and like a coward and shit, right? And we've also seen him kill two druggies and a doctor.
Right.
And the doctor kind of gives him a hard time. We have no reason to think that he stands a chance against Paul Atreides. And we're supposed to feel this like immense tension that the two of them are fighting. And I'm like, why?
Yeah, this guy's
why, though?
This guy's a spoiled rich brat.
Yeah.
And he's clearly going
to
get his.
He got upset because he had to fight a doctor for real.
Well, it's one thing where it's like. Yeah, they had to fight a doctor, and that was the gift, is that he could prove to everyone that he could really fight. And I'm like, fine, but that guy's also been trapped in a cell for a while.
Yeah, he's malnourished and not a fighter.
He's malnourished and everything and not a fighter. But also, basically, the end battle are two rich brats fighting their way to become an even richer
two
brat.
Two princes. Yeah.
Two princes are fighting their way to become a prince all over again.
Yeah.
That's really what this is.
Yeah.
Two privileged people.
To become an emperor.
Yeah.
Princes fighting
and
to become an emperor.
We all watch them do it and we're like, yay, for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
But yeah, it you're right. Like, it doesn't. This guy's not exactly the most compelling villain in the world. You know, there's no part of this that feels like, you know, what you want in a good villain is you want some sort of reflection on the hero.
Yeah.
Right. You want their paths to be kind of intrinsically linked through some sort of commonality. But other than them being two rich brats.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Well, they are related.
They're related. Right. But they're related
because
they're two rich brats, and like all royalty, they're all related in some sort of capacity.
Yeah, but it seems like they aren't actually. Like, all these houses are different. They're not actually related, but these two just happen
or
to be.
Or are they? Because then we find out more relations. You know what I mean? Like, we find out how they're related. So it's one of these things where it's like, maybe they are all related. I don't know.
Maybe it's
you
all
know.
Inbreeding. I don't know.
It's all inbreeding. Yeah.
And in fact, at the end of that fight, I like at the end of the fight with Mr. Clean, it's poorly choreographed and poorly shot. And I'm like, what happened in it?
They missed a beat. I was just going to say that, too. That was they missed a beat of like, so he got stabbed in the side.
Paul
got stabbed in the side. Thank you.
Which, by the way,
Paul,
with everyone's names being like all sorts of crazy, weird shit, his
Paul.
Name is Paul.
Yeah. Paul.
And then, you're going to meet his son later, Ringo.
Yeah. He gets stabbed in the side, right? Then there's the second knife.
Yeah.
And he gets stabbed again in the shoulder.
I think he almost gets stabbed.
No, he does. Because you see his. No, because what happened was that he pulled the first knife out.
Right.
And stabbed him with that one.
And we just don't see any of that.
And you don't see any of that. No, I was confused too. I thought he turned the knife around at his shoulder, but he didn't.
Yeah, because you don't see any of the knives.
No, but then
it
pulls
away.
When
the point of contact happens, yeah.
And there's blood on his shoulder.
Gotcha.
So he got stabbed twice, then pulled knife one out.
So in the time that he was like sort of trying to push knife two back, he pulled knife one out and pointed it at Mr.
Yes,
Clean.
Yes, but they don't show that at all.
Wild.
Which is also an awkward movement because they were close to each other. So him pulling that first knife out would have definitely like knocked into
been
Mr.
Noticeable.
Clean. Yeah, been very noticeable. Except it wouldn't have been because Mr. Clean is, again, a rich prick who, you know, can't fight for
probably
shit
doesn't know
anyway.
How to fight
doesn't know how to fight.
I thought they were gonna kiss.
They might as well. They probably would have created another prince.
Would have been more tense, actually. It would have created more tension.
Yeah.
All right, so here we go. I'm curious if you noticed that this is who this actor was.
Go for it.
When Paul dies, he goes to like the Soul Stone world from Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
And he sees the grown-up psychic baby.
Oh, yeah. I know who this is.
Played by Anya Taylor-Joy.
Taylor-Joy,
my headcanon is that the baby grows up to be Furiosa.
Yep, there it is. I mean, it's all in the sand anyway.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, they said, I think she's going to be in the next movie. That's why.
I mean, she fucking better. She has like two lines.
Yeah, no, I did notice
they
that.
They probably paid her $6 million to do this.
Yeah, probably. She's on the Christopher Walken plan, probably.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I put here as well, Rebecca Ferguson gives a great Emperor Palpatine impression. Because like throughout this entire thing, she's like, do it.
I will say she at least they give her something interesting to do in that, like in the middle of the movie, she basically switches to a different character.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like, well, that's pretty interesting. That, for her, at least, as an actor, I'm like, that's got to be at least fun.
Yeah, she has an interesting arc. Why does Zendaya's tear bring him back to life? Just because her name means spring water or whatever?
Yep, it means Poland spring. Yes, that's exactly. It's that mixed with the worm piss. Worm piss plus tears of your loved one.
Yeah.
Is it actually brings you back to life.
I gotta remember that for later.
That's true on Earth too. Yeah. That believe me, that has saved my ass a few times.
I bet. And I've written here as well, quote, "My real dad is a dick, so I have to be a dick too." What? Why?
Yep. Correct.
Whatever.
Correct.
All right. The last note I have is something I saw at the very end of the credits, because I stayed until the very end.
I did not.
And I saw something extremely confusing. There's no post-credit scene.
Okay.
But I saw something that was shocking and confusing to me, and I immediately went home and looked it up, and I couldn't find anything on it. And shortly thereafter, news articles started coming out about this thing. And in fact, an interview was done with the person it involves.
Okay.
And he gave some insight to it.
Okay.
At the very end of the credits, written is "Special thanks to Tim Blake Nelson."
Wait, why? And he was supposed to be in this movie, wasn't he?
So I was like, was he in this movie? I was like, wait a minute. Was he like a cameo somewhere that I missed? Was he like some little alien? You know, because there was stuff like, you know, like in the Star Wars sequels, like wasn't Daniel Craig was like a stormtrooper and shit, you know?
Yes. Yeah, so I was like, maybe
he did something like that. He was just somebody with like a helmet on, or he's somebody who gets killed or whatever.
And he's like, please put me in.
He's like, put me in this. Could have been. Evidently, they shot a whole fucking scene with him.
Yes.
And just cut it.
And they just cut the whole thing.
And he said in an interview that he was heartbroken about it.
Yeah. I think he's going to be, he might also be in the next one too. I don't know.
Yeah, I bet. It's got to be real tough to cut a scene with Tim Blake Nelson.
I would imagine you get somebody like that. You're like, this is probably going to go in, and then to cut it.
Yeah.
And also, it's got to hurt more when it's a movie this long, when you're like, that's what.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm going to level with you, though. If we got 2 hours in and I was like, man, I literally was starting to fall asleep in some parts. If I got, you know, if I was starting to nod off and Tim Blake fucking Nelson showed up, I would perk immediately back up and be like, holy shit.
And then, because you're just watching for him the rest of the time. And then the credits roll and you're like, ah, what the hell? Overall, I would be. Here's the thing. We shit on this movie a lot. It is. I actually still enjoyed this movie. I would be. It's weird to say. I'd be more interested to watch it. Oh God, this would be a slog. But like back to back with the original. With Dune 1.
The first one.
Yeah, and just kind of get this. I mean, I guess also I want to see what the third one is.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, apparently the third book is terrible.
Really?
Yeah, people are like, the third book is awful, so I don't know what kind of plot they're going to have for that one.
Yeah.
But I would be interested to see what this trilogy is and how it wraps up, and then to see it as a full story arc. Because this is the other problem with middle movies. Either they're really good, Empire Strikes Back, or really bad, insert Attack of the Clones. There it is. But that's the thing. It's like, this is a tough thing to hit. It's a tough...
Yeah.
You know, you got to hit just the right note on this. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. I'm like I said, I liked everything in this movie. I just think don't put all of it in this movie.
Yeah. And I'm the opposite. I really am like, I think most of it doesn't work. I'm shocked. Don't listen to me, because it's got like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes and everybody.
Right, people fucking, are loving this.
Yeah, everyone's jerking off to it like nonstop. I left the theater and I was super confused. I was just like, did I watch a different film? I don't understand this. None of this makes any fucking sense to me. Maybe it's above my head. Maybe I'm just not smart enough for it.
I don't think so. I mean, now that you opened it up, but I honestly think if they had taken, like I said, if they had taken basically like the two plots of this movie and made them into two separate movies and gave it the ability to really concentrate on one of those plots and flesh that out and make it its own storyline and then do another one, you would have enjoyed those two movies.
Maybe. Yeah. It just feels a lot like the James Cameron Avatar movies.
It does. It feels a lot of like, wow, we're going to put everything in here because I'm allowed to put everything in here.
Well, and it's like I said, it's look, man, the visual spectacle is worth the ticket price. So like, I'll give it that.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to go into the reading assignment?
I would love to go into the reading assignment, Chris.
Let's do it.
Chris.
Yes.
All the best things come from Canada. Maple syrup. Justin Trudeau. Fires so big they make enough smoke to block out the sun. Curling. Canada is somehow able to provide its citizens with both universal basic health care and poutine. How? No one knows. But We Stand on Guard by Brian K. Vaughan shows us a world where all of these joys have been stripped away from the great white north. Well, not the fires, but the other stuff. Because after years of war between US and Canada, both countries are left as a post-apocalyptic hellscape. And frankly, the US got the better end of that deal because we were already on our way there. Chris, what did you think of We Stand on Guard?
I enjoyed this. I like this book. This is another one. I feel like we've said this probably about other Brian K. Vaughan stuff for sure, but certainly other writers as well. I like this a lot. I would love to see more in this world, but as interesting as it is, I think the ending just kind of ends like it, you know, but other than that, overall, this is a fun read. It's an interesting world to live in for a while, and it's a fun read to kind of go through. It doesn't take that long. It's kind of brisk. You can move right through it. I read it in maybe like an hour. I just kept going with it. And it's one that I kept putting it down, and I go, you know what? I'll pick this up again tomorrow. And then like a couple minutes later, I'm like, let me read a couple more pages of it.
Yeah, I want to know what's going on.
I want to know what's going on. I want to know how they get out of this, how they get out of that situation, that sort of thing. What did you think of this?
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah.
I loved it. I think Brian K. Vaughan sometimes for me, it's funny because we basically started this whole podcast because we loved him so much.
Right.
Because we had read Saga and Paper Girls and probably other stuff. But then as we started to read more and more, as with all creators, all artists, you start to be like, oh, man, maybe like you read one and you're like, that wasn't so great. Like I bumped on Why the Last Man a lot.
Right.
And we just read some of Spectators, which I think both of us were like, what the fuck is this?
He's a guy who takes a swing. And sometimes it connects and sometimes it doesn't, but I appreciate he's always just like, nah, fuck it. I'm going to take a swing.
Well, and one of the great things about this that was a problem I had with Spectators is that with Spectators, there's a lot of like real gruesome, overtly sexual, strange things that are kind of hard to look at.
Right.
For almost no reason other than the fact that like the main characters want to look at them.
Right.
And with there's some of that in this, but it's used as a plot device, which I find very interesting. There's a man. I almost don't want to say it because it was so like, oh, it was so gut wrenching. There's like a VR torture device that they use.
Oh, yeah.
They're able to bring the person they're torturing. They bring her like dead father into the VR fake area.
Right.
And they're like, please don't make my dead dad torture me. And the dad is like, oh no, I'm not going to torture you. I'm just going to make sweet love to you. And she cuts him off and is like, this is all the information you want. Like this is everything you want. Please just turn this off. And I was like, that is a great way to do that.
Yeah.
If you're going to put some like crazy gruesome shit on the page.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I here's the other thing. So America is the villain in this, right?
Kind of.
But this is what I appreciate about it. It wasn't, if you're going to make America the villain.
Are you saying you should make America great again instead?
Yes, that's exactly what I was saying. I think it reminds me of, what was the name of it? Was it Home that we read about the migrant kids? Mm-hmm. Home, right?
Yeah.
In that, the one problem I had was the villain was very two-dimensional.
Yes.
He was very much like America.
He's like, I just want to kill everyone.
I just want to kill all the foreigners.
Yeah.
And this isn't that. This isn't like America is the bad guys, but it's never like, well, we're the bad guys because we believe in freedom in the American way, and you're gonna take our Star Spangled awesomeness and swallow it down your little poutine throat, motherfucker. Like it's never that. Yeah,
it's very nuanced.
Yeah, it's never. It's just they are the villain, and that's just it's America because that's we need a villain, and that's who the villain is.
Well, and the smart thing about it is maybe they're not
right.
Like they don't go into it a lot. Like it's you don't see them a lot. You're told they're the villain. And then you are seeing representatives right. of that side occasionally do things that hurt the characters that we are familiar with.
Right.
But that's also war. You know, I was there's actually also, just.
Yes. And that's what I like.
While I was reading this, I was comparing it to the whole conflict with Israel and Palestine.
Oh, boy.
It's like, it's very easy.
Hot takes.
I know. But to be completely frank, it's very easy to listen to propaganda
right.
and hear that one side is the good guy and one side is the bad guy. But the truth is that these people have been bombing each other back and forth for the past 100 years. And the same thing is happening here. It's like,
right.
who started this? And does it even matter at this point?
Right. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. And I like the fact that, again, it's not just like a two-dimensional, well, we do this because we're American, we're awesome. It's just
yeah.
because there's a lot of insinuation that nobody really knows how this started. And maybe it wasn't started the way that everyone thinks that it was.
Right.
And they never give it a definitive answer.
Yeah.
Which I kind of like. And I kind of wish this kept going.
I do too.
I don't need the definitive answer, but this could have been a much bigger, sweeping, kind of more epic
yeah.
arc to it.
Well, and according to Wikipedia, Brian K. Vaughan still owns the rights to this entire license. So if right. he would like to, he can
to do a second
revisit
one.
It at any time. And that would be awesome.
Well, I think he should, because here's the thing. This is my only real issue with it. And I'm going to, and spoilers for We Stand on Guard. The entire plot of this is about a young woman who is trying to find her brother who was captured by the Americans at some point. And she's trying to find the prison camp that she's in, or just find out if he's dead, where is he, and save him. At no point, we find out where the brother is. But at no point does she come really even close to finding out that answer. And then, spoiler alert, she dies at the end. Did, you know what I mean? Like, I was like, that's such. And this is where I have a problem with this, like, quick ending thing. Because a lot of writers, you know, endings are hard. And Brian K. Vaughan can usually do a good ending. But, like, this one, I was like, it felt like he was like, let's just wrap this up. Like, let's just be done with this.
I don't know that I've ever read one of his endings.
That's true. Well, Paper Girls.
I haven't finished it.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
I finished it. And it does finish. I mean, it because it goes on for a long time, it kind of like has the time to stick the landing. But this, it just was like, it felt like he was like, and they get, what do they give me? 6 issues? And that's 6 issues, everybody.
Agreed, yeah.
Because I'm like, even, they never
even.
It sets
up as well. It sets up like sort of a fork in the road. There's like 2 different sets of characters who can continue on. And their journey, it seems like, is sort of just starting.
Yes. The captured character who meets the brother. That was a whole journey that they were going to go on. I thought like the two of them are going to find a way to like get out together and find their way back to his sister. His sister was going to go searching for him. There was a whole other storyline, a whole other. I thought this was like chapter one
right.
of a much longer epic.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden she's dead. And I'm like, but in no way did you actually even really try to complete your mission
right.
of finding your brother.
Right.
You just hit this one snag in the road where you joined up with these freedom fighters. The Americans came in, they started attacking things. And as soon as things got really, really hard, you're like,
yeah.
fuck it, I'm blowing myself up.
No, that's a good point. Cause we always talk about goals, obstacles
right.
and that sort of thing. That's your basic, you know, you put 4 people in a room and they all have goals that conflict with each other's goals.
Right.
That's how you get protagonists. That's how you get antagonists. That's how you get an interesting story with conflict. Her goal is to find her brother until it's not for some reason.
For some reason. She just kind of, yeah. And she just kind of stops. She keeps saying that's her goal. But her goal, if that is her goal, it doesn't make sense for her to go, well, I'm going to sacrifice myself in this moment
yeah.
to save everyone else.
It almost needed like a fake thing where like maybe he faked his own death and it got back to her that he died or
right.
something.
Yeah. If she found out. Yeah. You don't have to. You have to have a goal and strive for it. You don't have to complete it.
Right.
And if they have all this amazing VR, if they somehow faked his death and said she died, you know, he's dead. He's been dead for 20 years.
You've
right. been, your whole search has been in vain. Your life has been for nothing. And then she's like, well, then I'm going to claim my life and make it mean something in its last moments, and then blew herself up. That's fine.
Yeah.
Like, she's doing this because she thought her journey was over.
Right.
And there's a tragedy in that. But she just kind of stopped at the end. And I was like, oh, that's wait. And it honestly didn't hit me until after I put the book down and walked away.
Yeah.
It was very much a freeze box moment where I was like, wait, what? that doesn't make sense at all. Now that I think about it, this thing I really enjoyed.
It didn't occur to me until you just said it.
Yeah, but I was, and that's the thing. It doesn't hit you because the whole thing kind of sweeps along and it goes really well. And then it ends and you're like, wow, that was a really powerful ending. And then I put the book down and I went to bed. I woke up the next morning. I was like, wait a second. She was trying to get to the, and the brother's just in the prison camp. Yeah, he's just like,
he sure is.
And then like they blow up one thing and he's like, we won. And I'm like, what did you win?
Stop celebrating.
They're going to come in and shoot all of you. What are you doing? You didn't win anything. You blew up one AT-AT and you're done. Yeah. Like, that's not it. That's not the end of it. Yeah. There's a lot more in this world and I like this world a lot.
Yeah.
And so that's the only disappointment.
I almost kind of want to see what's going on in another country while this is going on.
Or any other part of Canada or America.
Yeah.
Because they insinuate that America is some sort of wasteland right now.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot of Undiscovered Country by Scott Snyder.
Sure. Yeah.
You know? And so there's almost an argument to be made that these are, I mean, I haven't read that in a while, and so I don't know what it's at now, but there's almost an argument that these are the same universe.
Yeah.
You know?
They're like companion pieces.
They're very much companion pieces, for sure. Yeah. I mean, overall, if I was going to, you know, gun to my head, I would give this a recommendation for sure.
Yeah. Even without a gun to my head, I think it's fantastic. Like you said, the ending's a little weird, but other than that, I think it's an amazing journey that sets up a really cool world. It doesn't dive too much into like answering your questions about like, well, what's that over there? What's this? It just shows you stuff and you're like, oh my God, it just,
and you're like, what
stuff
is that?
Just keeps happening.
Yeah. It leaves a lot to the imagination in a great way.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Cool. What have you got for me?
What do I have for you? I had something in mind and then I lost it. And now I got to think about it again. I was going to give you, no, I don't want to give that. No, maybe I do want to give that. You know what? I am going to give it now. They just announced, and we'll get into this next week in the Tuesday Newsday, but one of the things they just announced is a new Titans live action movie. Okay. So I thought, because Titans are very big in DC right now, I thought it'd be kind of interesting to do the first volume of the new Teen Titans by George Perez, the classic that started off kind of what we think of as the modern iteration of the team today. Where did all these characters get introduced? Raven, Cyborg, stuff like that. So let's do that. We're going to do New Teen Titans Volume 1.
Cool.
All right. So that's what we got going for in about 2 weeks.
Great.
Other than that. Oh, hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah.
Where can they find us?
Well, they can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, Pandora, SoundCloud.com/TheMediaLunchBreak. You can also find us on Twixer, where our handle is @MediaLunchBreak. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube.com/TheMediaLunchBreak, where I will put up another video eventually. You can also find us on TikTok, where our handle is @TheMediaLunchBreak. We have merch on Teespring. We are also on Patreon. That's patreon.com/TheMediaLunchBreak. If you'd like to chip in a couple bucks, help out the show. It helps out a lot. You can also send us an email at themedialunchbreak@gmail.com or visit our website, which is www.themedialunchbreak.com. Give us a rating and reviewing on iTunes, SoundCloud, or YouTube. And special thank you to Julie.
Thanks, Julie.
For being the first person to attack Canada.
That's right. And the last. Like Andrew said, you can leave a rating and a reviewing and you can leave it right in app. And it really, really does help people find us if you leave that 5-star rating right in there. But also, here's the fun part. If you leave a 5-star rating, you can leave whatever you want in that review box. For this week, I'll tell you what, if you leave a 5-star rating in that review box, I want you to find the best recipe for poutine that you could possibly find and leave it right there so that Andrew can make it when he gets home too.
Nice.
If I make it, I mean, he doesn't cook. But,
you mean make it.
Yeah, I mean, make it.
Make with it.
But other than that, this has been Dune Chapter 2. Chapter 2? Part 2?
I don't know, man. Fuck it.
Whatever. It's Chapter 2.
By Dennis Newvillage.
Dennis Newvillage. And we stand on guard, all right? But here's the thing. If you have a reading assignment, next week we're going to be... next week is going to be the best damn day of the week, the Tuesday Newsday.
Tuesday Newsday, yeah.
And then, Andrew. It's going to be Ghostbusters.
Oh, it is going to be Ghostbusters.
It's going to be Ghostbusters.
I got to figure out when I'm going to see that.
I know. And New Teen Titans. But in the meantime, if you're listening to this and you're like, guys, everyone's talking about Ghostbusters. You don't need to talk about that. You should talk about this. You have an idea for us on what to talk about? Send it over. If you have a reading assignment that you're like, hey, I read this and I want to assign it to the both of you, send it over to us. If you're a creator, you wrote a comic, you filmed a pilot, you shot a film, and you want us to put some eyes on it, some ears on it, you want us to turn people towards it, send it over. We'll talk about it on the mic. We love doing stuff like that. Other than that, that is it. There it is. Look at that.
We did it.
We did it. We did it across borders.
Over dunes.
Across time. What time is it over there? Are you across a timeline?
It's 5 a.m.
Is it really?
No.
I was like, no, you're not that far over.
No, it's the same time zone.
Ontario is it the same time zone as
it
mine?
It is. I mean, I imagine there are parts of Ontario that aren't, like, you know, the what are they called? They're not states. They're like
regions.
Yeah, it's not called that. There's a specific name, but yeah, they're enormous. So.
Oh, that's true. You're right. But anyway, whatever. I don't even know where I was going with that.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah. But there it is. Look at that. Across states, across countries, across time.
You can't fucking stop us. You tried to stop us. You can't.
That's right, Arby's. You hear us? We're still here, motherfuckers. And we're not going anywhere.
Haven't died yet.
That's right. That's how there it is. We made a thing. That's how easy it is. So if you're out there, if you're listening to this, go make a thing. Okay. Other than that, yes, you look like you want to say something.
Do you think there are any Arby's in Toronto?
Well, I guess there's only one way to find out, isn't there?
I mean, there's a few ways, but you know.
Slap on that keys to the cheese keychain and get to work.
Oh, Canada. Our home and native land, true patriot love, and all our sons command. With glowing hearts we see thee rise, the true north strong and free. From far and wide, O Canada, we stand on guard for thee. That's the name of the comic. God keep our land.
How far does this go?
Glorious and free. O Canada, we stand on guard. That's the name of the comic for thee. O Canada. Canada, we stand on guard.
Oh, here we go. Oh, he's going to do it again.
Okay.
That's the name of the comic.